Welcome to the America Magazine podcast. America Magazine is the national Catholic weekly. Visit us online at www.americamagazine.org.
Hello, this is Tim Reedy for the America Magazine podcast, the week of October 5th. This week we spoke with Susan Winley Dowse, a professor of theology at St. Mary's University of Minnesota, and the author of the article, A Fiery Gift, A Spiritual Meditation on Childbirth, which appears in our October 5th issue. In that article, Professor Winley Dowse looks at the experience of natural childbirth and how it compares to prayer. I spoke to Professor Winley Dowse from her home in Minnesota, where she was expecting her fourth child.
Basically, the article came out of some reflection about my own experiences of childbirth as well as my own experiences of prayer. And the argument that I'm trying to make in the article is that they are more similar than we tend to give them credit for. We're pretty happy to talk about being born again and to talk about birth in very generic terms as being part of the spiritual life. But when we begin to look at it very closely as to, well, what about labor? And what about transition? And what about, you know, all the details that go around this? Is that actually illumining to people's interior lives or not? And if we're losing that with the advent of technology, what happens then?
That leads to my next question, and is which: how has the experience of birth changed, obviously in major ways over the centuries, but even in the last, you know, 30 years, how has it changed? How has medicine intervened, and what has been lost in all of that?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people would say it's changed for the better, and it's hard to argue in many ways that that's not the case. I had a friend who was a midwife many years ago, and we were talking, recalling the glory days of when people just had lay midwives who would come out to their home or trusted family members and that sort of thing. And she said, well, you know, I support all those movements, but to be perfectly candid, you know, those women also gave birth not knowing if they were going to survive the experience or that their own children would survive the experience. I mean, the infant mortality rate was just much, much higher than it is now in the United States and in the civilized world. Now, having said that, you know, I think a lot of people will say that the experience has changed to the degree where it's almost gone too far. For example, it's really common in the United States. Over 30% of births are cesarean sections. And while some of those cesarean sections are undoubtedly needed and life-saving and a good thing, most doctors are going to put that after the fact is about at 5%. So 30% of women are getting this really invasive major surgery when they don't need it. And a lot of the reason seems to be because of, you know, the fear of malpractice, the appearance that doctors want to do everything that they can do, the difficulty of assessing risk. It's like, well, you know, the baby's heartbeat looks like it's fluctuating a little bit here. Well, that could be actually quite normal, but do you want to take that chance? So technology has certainly been a blessing, but, you know, I guess like most advances of that sort, it comes with its whole new set of questions.
In your article, you write about the Bradley method. Maybe right. You can describe that to our listeners and what you've discovered, how you've found it to be helpful.
Well, you know, it's probably since the 1960s or so, I mean, part of the reaction to the increasing medicalization, you might call it, of childbirth is this whole movement of natural childbirth, and there are different schools of it. Most people are familiar with Lamaze. It's not what I'm talking about in the article. I'm talking about this thing, as you said, called Bradley method. And Bradley method is basically a method that focuses on empowering women and their husbands. It's actually called something like the Academy of Husband Coach Childbirth or something like that formally, to really know what's going on with their bodies, to be able to take care of the birth as much as they can themselves, assuming that it is a normal birth, to be able to recognize when things are not going according to norm, and to try to do this as much as possible without interventions. You do that basically through different kinds of relaxation exercises, being aware that, like, a woman's uterus is a muscle, and that's not exactly going to relax because it's very busy at that moment in its life. You know, it's pushing. But as much as you can relax all the muscles surrounding that, basically every other muscle in your body, It really helps just in terms of allowing the uterus to take all the energy that is within your body and focus it on that one task, as well as just alleviating the pain response. I mean, one of the things that usually attracts people to Bradley Method is that they don't promise a painless childbirth, but they will say that it will be less painful if you do it this way. And I have to admit that that's definitely been my experience.
As you say in your article, I mean, the Bradley Method, for whatever reason, is seen, at least in some quarters of American societies, you know, this is just for hippies.
Right.
Why do you think that there's that that impression out there?
You know, I think a lot of women, and I have some sympathy for the argument, are going to say, it's like, but what's the problem with getting an epidural? I mean, seriously, it is, for most people, even with tools like the Bradley Method or other relaxation tools that help, it is a painful experience. So really, it's like, if you have a headache, why not take an aspirin? If you're doing natural, you know, if you're giving birth to a child, why not have an epidural or some other kind of drugs? So I think that's really hard to overcome, and that's just the general population. As for the medical establishment, that's a harder thing to answer. I mean, doctors are just seemingly not trained this way. They're trained to be able to go and fix things with drugs, with surgery, with various things that can hasten a labor. And all those things have their place, but I just know that when, for example, women go to a hospital in order to learn how to give birth, it's really not about learning to give birth. It's about learning what your drug options are. And I think that's just very telling. It's where our medical establishment tends to be. They would say they're giving people what they want, and women are saying we're not getting other options.
Well, the argument you're making is not necessarily a medical argument in favor of natural childbirth, although there is that element, but, you know, the spiritual element here.
That's right.
So maybe you could talk, you know, you started to address at the beginning, but what can be gained? What have you learned from this process?
I think what I've learned is how much the things that you need to do when you're intentionally trying to have a healthy natural childbirth are some of the same things that are really helpful in terms of living out the life of prayer. And that could be along the lines of learning not to be afraid, for example, of new experiences, and to not let that fear just freeze you to what's happening at the moment. Another thing is to actually live in that moment. You're giving birth, and trying to focus on anything other than that is probably not going to be really helpful. Well, that's a fairly strong spiritual tenet as well. You know, if you're not living in reality, if you're not living where you are, but where you were, where you hope to be, you're not going to get very far in your spiritual life, because those are false places. I think there are a number of things that are really helpful. I mean, is seeing childbirth as a gift, for example, rather than something that you just have to survive. There's definitely a survival element to it. It's not easy. But on the other hand, what are you learning and what are you receiving in this experience, even beyond the baby, which is, of course, huge? But in the experience itself, how exactly is that connecting you to who God wants you to be and do right now while you're in labor? I found those to be questions that I'll grant you at the time when I was in labor. I wasn't sitting there thinking about them and taking notes. But afterwards, like, wow, this was actually not that different from some of the things that we talk about in terms of a really attentive spiritual life.
Well, you quote St. Francis de Sales about weakness, learning about our own physical weakness.
Right.
What does, you know, the process of giving birth teach you about our weaknesses?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, because on one hand, you really don't feel much more incapable of childbirth than when you're actually doing it. And especially at one point, I mean, this is one point that I think the Bradley Method in particular really hones on rather well, and that is when you get to the point where you're very, very close to pushing, not quite there, but very, very close to pushing, one of the emotional signposts that they teach people to recognize is that the woman's going to say, I can't do this. That's a really important piece because it depends, what happens next depends on how you interpret that. Does she really mean, I can't do this, and she needs medical help, something seriously is wrong? Or is it a recognition of, I really need help right now? And that is what the connection I was trying to make with the sales piece about the spiritual life. And he actually doesn't use the term weakness as much as he does self-objection, I believe. It's a moment in a birth where you do feel really abject and you recognize that you do need help, that you can't do this alone, that you are out of control, at least at some level. And that is, for many people, I think, a very important recognition that that's going to happen in the spiritual life. Nobody builds a spiritual life by him or herself, right? There's a point where there needs to be some kind of recognition, I can't do this, I need God's help. And that's usually the turning point, and it's a turning point in a physical birth as well.
Now, it's striking, as you noted in the beginning of our conversation, how many times in the Christian tradition the metaphor of birth is used, whether it's to be born again, but perhaps most directly in St. Paul's writings, when he writes, all creation is groaning with labor pains, even until now.
Sure.
As a mother, as somebody who's now you're expecting your fourth child,
right.
what are those words, how do you read them differently than perhaps you did, 15, 20 years ago?
Well, it's interesting. It's, I guess, typically, even now when I read those words, I do read them as words that describe a certain kind of experience in prayer. But it still impresses me that Paul was close enough to the reality of birth, to the physical reality of birth in his culture, that he was able to adopt that and to adopt it not in a negative way, but in a positive manner. We know all creation is groaning in labor pains even until now. If you go on to read the rest of the passage, there's not a real strong hint of that being a negative thing, that it's actually a good thing. It's a hard thing, but it's a good thing.
Well, you have Paul here, who obviously was a man who had not obviously been through this process himself,
exactly,
but was close enough to it to understand it. It sounds like from what you describe with the Bradley method that it does try to include the husband or partner in an integral way. That, so is there a way that this can be a spiritual experience for the father as well?
I think so. I mean, my husband certainly talks this way, although definitely he's going to have a different perspective on it than my own experience of doing it. The things that my husband normally says after I give birth is, certainly both of us share this common sense of awe, what's just happened, and gratitude at what just happened. He has mentioned before just feeling like he has tapped into this very prayerful space that is mostly operated by women. And I've given birth primarily with midwives and other nurses who were women, so lots of women in the room. He was usually the only man. He says that there's just this hush about it all, that it's just, he thinks just borders upon the miraculous. It's just such an intense experience of community and of focus and of, to use some very specifically Christian language, of being Christ for each other. He says there's really nothing else like it.
You touched upon this earlier, but is there any danger in some of this of romanticizing the experience, as you said, because, for centuries, women often died.
Right. I say at one point in the article, I'm talking about some regular, normal childbirths. When we begin talking about childbirths that have tragic endings for the mother, the child, both, I think we're getting into an entirely different realm in. Those aren't my stories, so I don't feel really qualified to speak to them. Having said that, my first childbirth was definitely not a walk in the park. I ended up having a cesarean myself. It was 2 days long. It was extraordinarily painful. So, no, I don't want to sentimentalize it, but I do want people to maybe think twice about what an amazing gift this is, and how we don't even recognize it fully for what it is.
Now, we have a rare opportunity to talk to you. As we said, you're expecting your fourth child, and literally any day now, correct?
Right. So I'm very close to the subject.
You are. Is there anything that you do to prepare for the experience, reading or prayer beforehand?
Well, there is. I mean, people do lots of things, I guess, to prepare for birth. But one of them is certainly to go through the exercises and really treat it a bit more like a discipline than anything else. It's like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. These are the options that I have. Sort of prepare myself in terms of, as much as possible, have people around who are willing to help.
These are the exercises you're taught in the Bradley Method, is that correct? Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about physical exercises more at this point. And just in terms of prayer, honestly, the past few days I've been praying Psalm 16 a lot, and that is the psalm that begins, "Keep me safe, O Lord, you are my refuge," and continues along that line. It's not specifically about childbirth, but it is a way of trying to focus upon something big is going to happen here. I sure hope, in terms of health and everything, that things go as well as they can. But like all psalms, you know, it always ends with this coda that is about trust in God and trust in God's goodness, you know, no matter what comes in the future. And that's a good reminder, too. I mean, I'm not in control of this experience. There's really only so much preparing that you can do.
Well, Susan Winley-Dowse, we want to thank you for joining us under these circumstances. And, of course, wish you all the best over the next few days.
Thank you.
I want to thank you again for joining us for the American Magazine podcast. This week online, we have a piece by Father Robert Lowder on Alice MacDermott and comparing her fiction to Graham Greene, Evelyn Waugh, and some earlier Catholic writers. We also have a piece by Stephen Joseph Fichter on priests who leave the Catholic Church for Protestant ministry. A reminder that you can respond to our podcast by going to americamagazine.podbean.com. This is Tim Reedy for American Magazine.